May the Lord help us to commence with 585. Where must a sinner fly that feels himself undone? On what kind hand rely, eternal wrath to shun? Can wit or reason help him out, or bring a lasting peace about? Hymn 585.
Thank you. Let us read from the Word of God in the Book of the Psalms, Psalm 89, the 89th Psalm. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations, Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces, as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm. Strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favour our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defence, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One, and said, I have laid help on one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. My arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him for evermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law, and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes, and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod, and their iniquities with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven, Selah. But thou hast cast off and abhorred, thou hast been wroth with thine anointed, thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant, thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. Thou hast broken down all his hedges. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. All that pass by the way spoil him. He is a reproach to his neighbours. Thou hast set up the right hand of his adversaries. Thou hast made all his enemies to rejoice. Thou hast also turned the edge of his sword, and hast not made him to stand in the battle. Thou hast made his glory to cease, and cast his throne down to the ground. The days of his youth hast thou shortened. Thou hast covered him with shame, Selah. How long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave, Selah? Lord, where are thy former loving kindnesses, which thou swearest unto David in thy truth? Remember, Lord, the reproach of thy servants. How I do bear in my bosom the reproach of all the mighty people, wherewith thine enemies have reproached, O Lord, wherewith they have reproached the footsteps of thine anointed. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. May the Lord bless his holy word to us. May he help us in prayer. O Lord God Almighty, thou great sovereign Lord God, Jehovah, the living God, we venture once more to draw near to thee in prayer, Lord. Do grant us access to thee, O God, who holy art. We know and feel much of our utter unworthiness of the least of thy notice. But, O Lord, we would venture to come pleading once more, begging thy mercy. Lord, thou hast favoured us in approaching thee many times. Thou hast heard our prayers. Oh, we come before thee, Lord, pleading the precious name of thy dear, well-beloved Son. This is how we hope, even now, to gain access to thee, Lord. There is no other way. Thou hast taught us this, we trust, very clearly. Jesus is the way to God. Jesus is the way to bliss. Oh, the church this way is trod down from Adam's day to this. Lord, though we're so feeling unworthy of the least of thy notice, we plead now for Jesus' sake that thou wilt look in mercy upon us and favour us. And oh Lord, we come before thee, our holy heavenly Father, as thy children. We trust a goodly number of us here have the witness in ourselves. But Lord, thou hast stated in thy word that thy spirit will bear witness with our spirits that we are the sons of God. And Lord, we trust them and those of us who have known such favour by the divine operation, influence and teaching of the Holy Spirit. We're not where we once were, Lord, we can say, though we feel so vile, so wretched, so poor, Lord, thou hast well convicted us and convinced us of our sinnership. And Lord, thou didst give us, Lord, in early days of experience to know this. And Lord, mercifully, wonderfully, we can look back and remember how thou didst raise us to a hope and made thy dear self, Lord Jesus, Lord and Saviour, so precious to us. Lord, we feel we have to confess, Lord, like as we read in the psalm here now. Lord, we have to confess we are amongst those who have transgressed thy law. And Lord, thou hast that purpose with thy children to visit their transgressions with a rod. And Lord, there is some here we assure are feelingly under the solemn experience and exercise now of thy dealing with them, with the rod. And Lord, we know perfectly that thou dost know every one of thy people's peculiar case. Oh, thou, our holy heavenly Father, dealest in love and mercy with thy children. And all what we've read is very wonderful. Yet, Lord, we know that thou must do these things in correcting thy people. Lord, everything is appointed in their path for this purpose, for correction and sanctification. For thou knowest our sins before we fall. Thou knowest all things, the end from the beginning. Lord, thou knowest we've got such a wicked heart, and left to ourselves we cannot keep ourselves. Lord, oh, we cannot use this as any way to excuse or to take away from us any blame. We're guilty, Lord. But, oh, we beg of thee we might be in the secret of what we're seeing guilty, but with hearts relenting. Oh, Lord, oh, that we might so be able to confess, feeling godly sorrow, having real repentance, and coming to thee, Lord, and all that we might come and feel it blessedly, sacredly this day, in a way of hope, as we come pleading the blood that did for sin atone. Thou knowest how we've been singing, Lord, and acknowledging. Oh, we trust with that reverence thou hast given. Lord, those things of thy holy sacrifice in those verses of the hymn. Our dear friend has seemed to have been led to the exactly right hymn. Lord, that we should begin with today. Oh, we felt it, Lord, coming, that we might begin pleading the blood. And as thou knowest well what is settled in our heart, do consider this evening, if we are spared to gather then. Lord, we might know it in a blessed way. Oh, before this day is o'er. And that souls here may be so blessed. We've heard a dear friend plead for pardon. Lord, thou knowest this is one we greatly desire and pray for, Lord, that many might know in this cause of truth their pardon signed and peace with God. Thou knowest, Lord, how we beg of thee for help through the day, that we might be favoured here with a blessed day, and that it all may redound to thy honour and glory. Lord, we come with our personal burdens and cares, and Lord, we would beg of thee all those things that are personal burdens and cares regarding us in our path of providence, Lord, day by day, our situations, Lord, in regard to our daily lives. There are many things, Lord, that we feel we want to leave at the foot of the mount, and Lord, that we might be concerned fully, truly, with regard to the good of our never-dying souls. Oh, Lord, thou knowest we wouldn't pray for this in any light way. Well, some of the things are very, very heavy burdens, and some even have mountains before them. And in this respect, Lord, we especially remember our dear friend, dear Peter, in what is before him this week. Oh, Lord, we firmly believe all things are in thy hand. And, Lord, we believe, as a dear young friend made to us even yesterday. We have a sovereign God, even a sovereign protector, unseen yet forever at hand. Lord, oh, they know with their dear friend's condition and what is needed. Lord, thou dost look upon him, and we believe thou art over him, watching over him, as his good physician. This physician understandeth all disorders of the soul. Lord, if we are given understanding as we, Lord, trust, thou dost give it. We know there are many, many places in the Word of God where thou hast used that word soul, not just relating to our inner being, which is very important, but it means the whole person, the whole child of God. Lord, we know in a deep spiritual way especially, it means the inner being, our never dying souls. Well, Lord, we know. We know it means every part of us. Lord, when we think of how there were, even on the ship that was going to Rome, carrying Paul the Apostle, there were those number of souls. Lord, oh, they were people, their bodies, their minds, their spirits, their whole persons. But Lord, they possess never dying souls, everyone. Thy highest part of thy creation, God breathed into man the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Lord, oh, thou knowest this physician understandeth all disorders of the soul, of every soul, the soul, and all about us. We pray for our dear friend, believing thou art his God, believing it through some special persuasion we have. Lord, we beg of thee, be with him, watch over him, bring him through, bless those means. Oh Lord, oh, we believe thou dost have a purpose too. Lord, we're bound up in it. Lord, thou knowest. Oh, we beg for every other one of our friends here, thy dear people. Oh, they would sanctify all things in their lives for their good. Sanctify them. We need to be personally sanctified, to be blessed to be among those who are sanctified. And the Lord, that they would sanctify all things in our paths for our eternal good. And the Lord, we pray for the young people. We pray thou wilt watch over them and keep them in these terrible days. Oh Lord, give them to know and be concerned in early days regarding how they are. Show them themselves, Lord, and show them thyself. Oh Lord, if it could please thee, quicken dead sinners into life. According to thy will, we believe thou will. Oh, manifest them, Lord, in our families and in the churches. Oh, in this cause of truth, may there yet be many that shall show in the way of their conduct and behaviour through thy calling them, that they are changed characters. Oh Lord, it might be noise among the people here and in the whole of Zion, this and that one, this and that man is born in her. Lord, oh, we pray to witness these things. Oh, thou knowest how we look for it and pray for it. Oh, and as we think of friends we know and love up and down across the land, in the gatherings of the people, in a little beloved denomination, we pray, Lord, we may be favoured yet to witness much of thy blessed appearing in dealing with, quickening and dealing with precious souls. Oh, let thy work appear, Lord, unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. Oh, Lord, we pray above all for this. Lord, that souls may be so blessed to know their need of thee, their need of thee, the Saviour. And oh, to know that favour we've read of in thy word, to be brought to be among the blessed people, loved of God, chosen ere time began, manifest in time. Oh, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Lord, with all the trials and tribulations which are found in our lives and in this militant estate we're in the vale of tears, we pray we may be able continually, day by day, to look unto thee. Lord, ever said, look unto me and be ye saved, O ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Lord, thou art teaching us there is none else to go to. And this makes thee and thyself, dear Lord Jesus, so very, very precious, the one thing needful. Lord, we beg, may we know it more and more. And, O Lord, do help us that we may live unto thee. Oh, let not the world arrest appear. Oh, let us haste from all below. Let us hold things rightly. Oh, that priority. We think of thy word as through Jeremiah. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Or may we know the real difference, seek real substance, know that favour of proving to be that real grain, that to be garnered home. Oh, not the chaff to be blown away. Lord, thou knowest. Oh, Lord, there are the things, the external things of religion, which are important to us. But oh, that we might know the kernel. Oh, that which is of real worth. Real worth, importance to thee, O God. For thy people thou hast formed, for thyself they shall show forth thy praise. May we know something of the humbling, feeling sense of how thou, our Heavenly Father, holds us as so precious to thyself. O Lord, but oh, especially when may we know the preciousness of Christ our Lord, thy dear, well-beloved Son, and dear Holy Spirit, we may know the blessedness today of thee coming and taking of the things of Jesus and revealing them unto us. So help us, Lord, in all these important ways. Thou knowest our need, Lord. Thou knowest our cases. Oh, we cast all our care upon thee, Lord. Oh, help us to live unto thee. Oh, we pray for grace. We think of thy commandments, Lord. We've read of the things concerning the keeping of them, and the solemn things of the breaking of them. But Lord, also we know as we live in gospel days, Lord, thou hast given thy new commandments. And Lord, that wonderful first one, we believe it should be said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Lord, we know this is wrought and brought in exercise through the experience of the love of Christ. Oh, we love him because he first loved us. Thy word is clear. We know it by experience. But, oh Lord, if thou hast come and so won our affections, that we love thee as we trust we do know something of, Lord, thou hast commanded us to love one another. It's the union that bonds in thee, our Lord, the union that thy people know in Christ. Let us abide in union with each other and the Lord, and possess with sweet in sweet communion joys which earth cannot afford. So help us each, Lord. We pray for our country, Lord. Oh, do still look in mercy upon us. We feel, Lord, some strength of feeling of thou art looking in mercy on us, or else thou wouldst be pouring on us thy strictest judgments. Lord, we believe thy people's prayers, given by the influence of the Holy Spirit, in a sense hold back thy wrath in the greatest extent of it toward us in England. But oh, we are a very wicked land. We are very fallen, deeply fallen. Abominations fill our land. We are part of it, Lord. We confess our sins in this our part of these things in our land. Worldliness and pride and idolatry, Lord. But Lord, oh, the awful things of abomination, of behaviour and conduct, and the laws so twisted and turned, aggravated by our rulers, Lord, have been the good laws, and enacted recently have been wicked laws, contrary to thy word. We pray, Lord, have mercy on us. Oh, in wrath, remember mercy still, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we beg of thee, wash our poor prayer. Oh, accept us in thy beloved Son. In those sacred words in Ephesians, Lord, the dear apostle was led of the Spirit to write, wherein we are accepted in the beloved. What wonderful truth, what wonderful words these are. We do humbly hope in this. We are among those that thou hast so loved. Thou, dear Holy Father, dost accept in thy beloved Son. For thou hast said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And Lord, thy word speaks of thy people being in Christ, even from before the foundation of the world. So, dear Lord, we come before thee. Help us to worship thee now in spirit and in truth. May we know some profit, some benefit through thy word this day. Even the preaching of it through a poor pipe, may it flow into the hearts of the dear hearers here and do them good, Lord. I beg for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 806, the second part. Come, ye backsliding sons of God, for many such there are, who long the paths of sin have trod. Come, cast away despair, return to Jesus Christ and see, there's mercy still for such as we. 806, the second part.
the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to some words you will find in the psalm that we read. That is Psalm 89 and the verse 34. Psalm 89, verse 34. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. I believe particularly we should seek help to consider this word as, of course, the word of God, but particularly for the child of God, the word of God, our Heavenly Father. For in the context here, we have from verse 30, if his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquities with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. We know in the context here, the whole psalm, much of it is relating to David. But we must be immediately led, and I believe we are led, to acknowledge also the Son of God is really the highest theme. It's of him here in the psalm. You would say you've just spoken regarding God our Father. Well, you know, the sweet couplet of the hymn suits me well when I consider this. When the Son is honoured, the Father's honoured too, friends. And oh, we hope everything we consider today will be for and toward and in purpose for the worship of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We seek to find benefit, food for our souls as we gather. But we know the first point of consideration should be, oh, that the Lord would feed us and favour us and bless us so that we shall have great cause to worship our God. I believe God gives his people a single eye to his glory, after quickening them and teaching them in some measure, he gives them to understand and know that he must be worshipped. You see, according to our old nature, we don't heed and seek to keep the first commandment. The depravity of our old natural state, the deadness we're in by nature. We've got no real understanding of what God requires of us. He said regarding this, that he must be worshipped, the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other God beside me. But, oh, we do not know anything, or certainly not very much about it, and not concerned about it in our dead state that we're in by nature. But when we're called by grace, as we trust a goodly number of us are who gathered here today, you know God brings us into a solemn accountability that we are commanded to keep his commandments. And he's given in his word. You know how we were considering last Lord's Day evening in Exodus 24. Well, if we read, as we have read many times, that context there in those chapters of Exodus from 20 on, we have all those words there which God spoke to Moses, and Moses wrote them in a book. And we know, of course, God gave the covenant on the tables of stone, gave the commandments on the tables of stone. But you see, the people said there, all these things will we do. But friends, poor fallen man fails. They cannot do it. They fail. And you know, it's a solemn thing. We know in unregenerate state, there's no real concern to keep the commandments. Not really, truly so. But friends, oh, those of you who humbly hope you've been called by sovereign grace, we then come into a great accountability to keep God's commands and his statutes and all what is written and given regarding his law, and regarding the new commandments he's given. We are commanded to keep his new commandments. Oh, how accountable we are. And it is upon these thoughts and this theme that my mind is set, and my spirit is exercised and set, I trust, to come before you this morning. Oh, we have a context here. If his children forsake my law, and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with a rod, and their iniquity with stripes. Oh, friends, are there any of you feeling here today? You are guilty. Guilt, this word condemns you. This word is so applicable to you. Oh, do you feel it? You have to confess. I'm one of these characters who has transgressed. Oh, I will visit their transgression with a rod. Is God's rod upon you? Oh, is he dealing with you in this way, correcting you? Are you one of those we've been acknowledging in the hymn, backsliders? Oh, are you one who, though you heard and your trust been blessed, if not in the favour of full forgiveness yet, yet God has given you tokens of his love, made known his love to you, had his love in some measure shed abroad in your heart? You love him because he, you hope, loves you, and yet you sinned and sinning, and you still love sinning in your old nature. And we're going on in this way, and God is grieved. Oh, friends, he says, I'll visit their transgressions with a rod. He has a perfect, just purpose to our sovereign God, our Heavenly Father. He will visit our transgressions with a rod. I believe God's way of so teaching, dealing with his people, so teaching them, is to, as he goes on to work in them, remember how the apostle spoke of this, it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his, notice his, good pleasure. His good pleasure is to have his people prepared for heaven, or to have them with him in heaven. This is his good pleasure. He will make them right and keep them right, prepare them for heaven. And they got to be washed and cleansed and clothed in his righteousness for this. Saved from their sins, prepared and made holy, that they might be ready for heaven. Oh, friends, think of eternity. Oh, if God has made eternity a tremendous sound to you. You know, this time of preparation in time on earth is but a vapor compared to eternity. And you have a hope of being with God in heaven for a never-ending eternity. But oh, also God has shown you with some measure of terror and solemnity what it is, what it would be to be found lost forever and cast into hell in eternal perdition, eternal punishment, eternal woe. That's the prospect of those that die out of Christ. Friends, oh, how important to be brought by grace to submit, to bow under the teaching of God, to fall before him, to be found in a reality of experience, made willing, made submissive, made to understand with some measure the loving kindnesses of the Lord. It is here in the context, then will I visit their transgressions with the rod and their iniquities with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. You will remember last Lord's Day morning we were led to consider, I know not very far into it, that word where the Lord states there in the psalm, he will show them his covenant. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And remember the way we trust led to consider a little the fear of the Lord that works by love, and how God's favour in bringing his people into gracious exercise to desire to live unto him, and the feeling of guilt and sorrow for sin, and repentance toward God, and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and how Christ is made so precious to his people, as the Lord in mercy teaches them, brings them into the secret, blesses them with some measure of hope. Oh, we considered all those things, and the revelation of his covenant love, the covenant of grace, ordered in all things and sure for his people. But friends, then, in the evening hour, the blood of the covenant. Behold the blood of the covenant. Oh, the sacrifice of Christ, how he suffered, bled and died. In our room, place and stead, we hope. But now this morning, this is how the Spirit has led one to come before you. You know, it will make us solemnly grieve where we're brought to know and feel we've sinned against our loving Lord, sinned against his name and blood. Then we need to know the Lord in mercy visiting our transgression with the rod to correct us for it, to chasten us in love. And oh, you will be brought by his grace to kiss the rod and he who hath appointed it. This is how our God works, to so deal with his people, to make them right and keep them right. 'Tis in love and not in anger to give thee an expected end. If you are under the rod, 'tis in love and not in anger, poor soul. May the dear Spirit give you such light, such grace to acknowledge it, to humbly acknowledge it, to kiss the rod, oh, to be thankful for it, to bless your God, your Heavenly Father, that He's so kind to not leave you to yourself, not leave you to make shipwreck of faith, but to teach you by His Spirit in these ways. Then will He visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. When you feel these stripes, these painful stripes, oh, may the dear Spirit lead you and me to consider our Lord. Oh, what He suffered for us. Oh, what He endured. How He suffered such ignominy and shame on the cross of Calvary. How He suffered the hiding of His Father's face for you. Oh, then will He visit their transgressions with a rod. But God does this in a deep, blessed way. And as He does it, He sanctifies His people and leads them into, oh, it's wonderful when He does, leads His people in such times as this into fellowship with Him in His sufferings. Oh, as the dear Holy Father, our Heavenly Father, afflicts us with that mild punishment of His love. Oh, He leads His people to consider how He's punished for us, His own dear Son. Oh, He's punished Him in such a way to lay upon Him the iniquity of the whole church. Oh, what the church would have to bear in a never-ending hell in punishment for their sins. Oh, may the dear Spirit lead us here this morning to consider these things. Friends, the text is, nevertheless, the text is, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. If we go to Genesis 9, we have there the wonderful words of God to Noah. And the wonderful words of God to Noah at that time, when Noah had just been called of God to come out of the ark, the floods had succeeded, and God was speaking to Noah. He was speaking regarding the rainbow, I do put my bow in the cloud. Oh, friends, oh, whatever we are in, wonderful it is, we can see the bow in the cloud. That's because God's spoken to you. He's made a covenant with you. You know that God has made His covenant with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and even Noah before, in a sense. In that way, we read there in Genesis 9. And He's made His covenant with David. We sing of it. David's Lord and ours, a covenant once was made. Bonds firm and sure, glories ne'er shall fade. Signed by the sacred three in one, in mutual love our time began. But the dear Spirit leads me to bring it before you like this. If God's called you by His grace, He's made a covenant with you. If He's raised you with a hope, if He's spoken to you, He's made a covenant with you that He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I humbly hope He's made a covenant with me. He's faithful that promised. we read a wonderful statement of those exceeding great and precious promises. And you know, it's in my heart to lead you to consider like this. This promise here, my covenant will I not break, must rank among the greatest. In a sense, I feel tremblingly to say, it to me is the greatest of those exceeding great and precious promises. God states, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Now you will have your own particular personal word, way God has made this over to you. In my heart, it's this. I will make a man more precious than fine gold. Even a man more than the golden wedge of Ophir. That's a word, a promise, was a promise to me. And in that sense, I hope I can say and understand and witness before you here this morning, God's made a covenant with me. He's promised me. I will make a man more precious than fine gold. Now you know what he's promised you. And in that sense, what he's made in covenant to you, he says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing which has gone out of my mouth. If the Lord has made known his love, he may have spoken to you like this. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. If he said that to you, he's made a covenant with you that his love is never going to cease towards you. You're in the bonds of the covenant. You're one loved of God. And he's given that promise. You will know his love for everlasting. He'll love you with an everlasting love. Now we could go to other words, blessed words in the scripture. But God has spoken. If he said, a particular word to you and sealed it to your heart, he's made a covenant with you. And he can never be unfaithful to that word. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Now I believe there are a goodly number here today of you. God has spoken something in promise to you in some way or other. You know in your own case how it is. Now that could never be erased. I believe that firmly. I believe it. I know it by experience and stand upon this in the way I've experienced myself. God is not a man that he should lie. There are some things, sometimes when we've been led in conversation with dear people of God who we know and love, and there are many that we've been favoured to be given a close love and union with up and down across the land. You know, sometimes when we're led in conversation, we even come to state this, and the natural man can't receive it, of course. If somebody's listening who's not got a spiritual mind, a spiritual understanding, they won't be able to understand it. But we talk sometimes of the things the great, eternal, sovereign God, Jehovah, cannot do. There are some things he cannot do. He cannot. He will not relinquish at last a sinner once signally blessed. He cannot, he will not. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips, because God is holy, you see. He cannot lie. God is absolutely, completely holy. We can't find words strong enough to emphasize the holiness of God. He can never sin. He can never transgress. He can never lie. Because he's God, Jehovah, the living God. He's God, Almighty God, who cannot lie. And my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. And so, poor soul, however poor you may feel, however guilt may hang heavy on your soul, but oh, may the dear Spirit lead you to remember all the way the Lord your God has led you, and those things he's done in you and spoken to you. Oh, may the Spirit give you strong faith, strengthen your little faith if it seems so small now today, and enable you to remember and acknowledge and plead with God what he said. You know, there's a hymn, rest on the promise God has spoke, divine decrees remain unmoved, no turns of providence can in any way revoke the care for them he once has blessed, as once has loved. And you know, if you can plead, and I believe the Spirit gives the enabling, gives the faith, to plead the promise he has spoke, that's one of the most strongest, most wonderful, I can't find a word, that's the most strongest of arguments to bring before God. Now you say, argument? Oh yes. God gives his people to fill their mouth with arguments. This is how the Spirit works. And the strongest prayer and argument you can bring before God, if the heaven is dark as and like brass, and you've been fearing so long, feeling so long, your prayers are not getting into the ears of God your Father. To plead like this, plead his promise, plead what he has said. Plead what he has done for you. Oh, this is the way, special way the Spirit will give access to the child of God to speak with God, to plead with God. You plead the name of Jesus. You go to him, nothing in your hand, pleading for Jesus' sake. And oh, you will prove his loving kindness again. I'm sure of it. He said, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Oh, it's wonderful, friends. You see, God's covenant, of course, is absolutely entwined and entwined and in all his purposes of love and mercy. You see, we read that God devised means whereby his banished should not be forgotten. Because he loves them with everlasting love, and all the means in the hand of God are all what Christ has done, all what he is and all what he has done, Oh, what he's doing now in heaven's high courts for good, pleading your cause, interceding for you, there as a high priest presenting his holy merits, his holy shed blood before the Father. Oh, all this is bound up in the covenant. The covenant. The blood of the covenant. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. And so I believe it will be very profitable. I believe it is appointed today that souls here shall consider what God has spoken to them, what he's done for them. We're so forgetful. We're so neglectful. These are our sins. But God says, thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God has led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, however long it is, to humble thee. This is the purpose. To humble thee and prove thee and know what is in thy heart, whether thou wilt keep my commandments or no. Oh, friends, these things are most wonderful, most sacred, most solemn. The dear Lord will have us right. He'll make us right and keep us right. This is his love to his people. His love is such that he must deal with them in love and mercy in all the ways he in his sovereign perfect will and understanding knows they must be taught. And he blesses means, he sanctifies means for this purpose. What you're passing through now is not by chance. If God loves you, it's in his love appointed for you. And he'll bring you through. He'll bring you out. He'll prove you. He'll prove the grace. The grace is given. This is how he works, friends. If I know anything of the way of the Spirit, the way of the Lord working in sinners, he works his sovereign will. You know, we sing it, and it's not understood much as we just quote the words, but when you're brought into it, you will know really, truly what it means. Deep in unfathomable minds, he works his sovereign will. Sometimes, like we sing, behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. And I think sometimes I've felt, well, God giving me a little light. How is this? Because God knows everything what he's doing. And it's all for his people. For the best. It is. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. This is the way of our God, our loving God. Our loving Lord, God Jehovah. Oh, the love of our Father to so watch over us and care for us and keep us in the way, to not see us go too far, not see us go back unto perdition, but to keep ourselves alive, keep us in the way. If we strive to bring us back, our Lord, our good shepherd, who knows his sheep, cares for his sheep. Oh, how he knows the way to bring us back. Oh, he does. And oh, how he cares for his people. Oh, the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, to save our souls are all concerned. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. And of course, what has gone out of his lips, I think of the words of covenant to Abraham when he was commanded to come out of his country and so on, and then in all those things of the experiences, but then think of how he was on Mount Moriah. And you know, I believe it was bound up in God, in the covenant of God's grace to Abraham. God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. God will provide himself a lamb. And friends, oh, for you and for me who have been convicted and convinced of our sins, we solemnly will know it. You will know how you felt, how you feel now. God will provide himself a lamb. He has provided the sacrifice. The Father's given his dear Son. Oh, the dear Spirit leads us into some depth of understanding the great gift of the Father, of his dear Son. Oh, how he gave his only begotten Son, that we should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, he should sacrifice himself. There's the blood of the covenant. Not all the blood of beasts and Jewish altar slain could give the guilty conscience peace, nor wash away one's stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away. A sacrifice of nobler name, never and richer blood than thine. Never will God break his covenant to his people. Oh, if he said to you, I died that thou mayest live, that will stand forever. If he said to you, I love thee, well, my child, thou art mine, that must stand forever. If he says, neither do I condemn thee, that will stand forever. It must. My covenant will I not break. If he says, daughter, go in peace, thy faith hath made thee whole, it stands forever, friends. It can never, never, never be untrue. It is God's word. Oh, the Lord speaks. He speaks in these ways, conveys the message, seals it to the soul. God's people are blessed when the word of God is sealed to their soul. He seals their soul with blood divine. Or if he said, when I see the blood and the Spirit has applied that to you, I will pass over you. That means, as you stand in your sins now, pardon, the Lord sees you in Christ. When I see the blood of Christ shed for you, as God the Father sees it, has seen it from before the foundation of the world, then he can pardon you. He passes by the transgression, the remnant of his heritage. It's all laid on Christ. He's borne the punishment instead. His holy blood's made atonement. The handwriting of ordinances blotted out that were against the people of God. Everything is settled. Oh, what favour. When you can say, all is settled. My debt is settled. He paid my ransom with his blood. Oh, oh, my debt paid. Oh, what a favour. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Oh, the Lord will so bless his people, seal them with blood divine. Oh, that sacred hymn we sing, closing hymn in our book. Oh, what sacred fountain. Yonder springs up from the throne of God, and all new covenant blessings brings. 'Tis Jesus' precious blood. You know, friends, what that verse that really really gets deep into my heart sometimes as the Spirit leads me to meditate. What voice is this which speaks for me in heaven's high court for good, and from the curse has set me free? Tis Jesus' precious blood. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £645, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening, and Mr. Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. And Mr. Pack is, God willing, engaged to preach next Lord's Day, and will address the Sunday school if able. And the collections today are for the Starving in Africa, for the Barnabas Fund. And our friends at Glen Stanton hold a young people's meeting on Friday at 7:15. Let us close with hymn 184. Our fullness resides in Jesus our head, and ever abides to answer our need. The Father's good pleasure has laid up in store a plentiful treasure to give to the poor. 184.
Dear Lord, do forgive anything that they have seen amiss. Do own and bless thy word. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and evermore. Amen.